This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Neil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, gee, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, gee, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Feelings. Mumbo jumbo on the editorial page where it belongs.
I covered that. I covered that Hillary Clinton event yesterday, and her performance was everything you all said it was. It was so moving to see her, how upset her supporters were. I understand why they're upset. I have tons of friends who supported Hillary Clinton. I get why they're upset.
And by the way, I've got to say, I've got friends who are hurt, who were crying all day yesterday, and I ache for them. Yeah. They're close friends. I understand what it means when people that you believe in lose. But I've got to tell you, I never had the media focus on my people when the people that I supported, sometimes Democrats, conservative Democrats, lost.
Right. That's the point I was going to make.
Go ahead.
I mean, if Donald Trump had lost, do you think the press would have been so concerned about his supporters and their disappointment? The country's divided. She won the popular vote. There are a lot of people who are really upset about this. But the coverage cannot just be, and the dialogue cannot just be about how upset those people are. I feel so bad for them. The people there, they're hugging each other and crying.
You know them.
It's heartbreaking.
Oh, God,
and for her, who, as we said before, she thought at 9 p.m. that she was going to be president. She thought for weeks she was going to be president.
Well, the whole world did because the media didn't do their job for the past month.
Right.
Let's just say it.
You want Michael Moore?
Yeah.
Liberal filmmaker Michael Moore responded to Donald Trump.
Well, you know, everybody has their opinions, right? And I think it's a bit dangerous, Scott. I got to tell you, when they talk about the popular vote. Oh, she won the popular vote. We don't even know that. They're still counting it, and that may be the case, but that's not what the contest is all about. I mean, that's like saying, okay, well, the team lost, but they had more hits than the other team, right? You still lost. You didn't get the World Series. You didn't get the ring. And that's the harsh truth of it. And there's been a couple of cycles here where as Joe Scarborough was saying, is that you had Republicans that, you know, were surprised and shocked. Not so much with McCain, but certainly with Mitt Romney. That was a big shock. And there was no concern. I mean, if anything, you know, they were, you know, given all the more to Romney. And even after it was, you know, shown that Harry Reid had lied about Mitt Romney, and he laughs about it. He goes, well, you didn't get it anyway. And he kind of, you know, laughs about the fact that he lied in the well of the Senate to we the people. I mean, this is what America is fed up with. And, you know, and I gotta hand this, and I gotta hand it to conservatives and those that feel like they're on the winning side. You know, I don't see a lot of end zone dancing here, but it's, you know, as we talked about before, the Democrats are real sensitive about it. I mean, what I'm hearing is, don't do any end zone dancing, you know, that hurts our feelings. Oh, come on, you know, if it was the other way around, you guys would be, you know, we'd be having parades. I mean, this would be unbelievable. You know, what's going on? I think that for the most part, conservatives are eager to get about the people's business, you know, to get this country back on track, get people back to work. Yes, I mean, you know, celebrations are going on. And just as people were reticent to talk about their support of Trump, they're still reticent. You know, they're there. They're glad they won. But I still sense this kind of measured reticence that is on display, where people, you know, they don't want to do an end zone dance. I mean, you know, we've got reports where, you know, here's a Trump voter and they're beat up. Somebody beats them up. Are you kidding me? I mean, you know, this is the kind of incivility that's going out that needs to be called out, you know, by the media and say, come on, grow up. You know, okay, so you want to protest the vote. All right. Have your day of protest. Go on and do this. But stopping traffic in downtown L.A., putting yourself in danger, putting police in danger, demonstrate, but don't break the law. You know what I'm saying?
There's another side of that, though, too. Some of the people that they've talked to, they didn't even vote.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get out there and support your candidate, it's really hard to be upset with what you get.
Well, you know, again, It's a free country. They can do and whatever they want to do, but they have to remember it is a free country with respect to all the people, we the people, and that needs to be respected above all. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Thank you so much for being with us.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, tomorrow's the day if we're going to get this country back on track, and the voice of the people is ready to be pronounced and to do something to get us back on track. 7 out of 10 of us agree that we are on the wrong track. So now what are we going to do about it? Well, tomorrow will be the telling day. It will be the final statement that we will be able to make to the status quo and to the elites and the establishment that have run our country into a humongous ditch. But we set that aside for a moment and make room to honor those vets who have served our country. And when you think about the number of vets that have been involved in, I think, Bruce Kaufman, we have I'm not sure how many, it's down to thousands now, a mere thousands of survivors from World War II. And I think we may have lost our last veteran from World War I. You'd probably know better, but Bruce Kaufman is with us, so he'll straighten us all out. Award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Bruce, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing good, Bill. Always great to be on the show.
Yeah. So relevant to the numbers, I mean, we continue to lose our vets, our heroes of the past. We've got heroes of the present involved in the current conflicts that we have around the world that are fighting the good fight on our behalf. And today is a good day to pause. And maybe it's perfect the way it landed this year, you know, right before Election Day. What do you think?
Yeah, so somewhat of a the timing is, I would say, very interesting. I don't know about perfect, but the timing is certainly interesting because we're heading into an historic election. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and the thing is, Bruce, is that both sides equally feel that they're fighting for the mere survival of the republic. I mean, equally and passionately, they feel this way. So, boy, I'll tell you, we're at a definite crossroads here, because no matter who wins, the other side is going to be very upset.
Yeah, no matter who wins, the other side is going to be very upset. And my guess is that Hillary Clinton is going to win this election. My hope is that she does not win it with a mandate, that it's a very close election. Therefore, she will not walk into the White House thinking she has a mandate to increasing our taxes, increase the spending, and increase the regulations on our small businesses and so on. So if she does win, and I'm guessing that she is, although, again, Bill, the race has tightened a little bit recently. The polls are showing that. And I think it's interesting, you and I have talked about this, that this is a unique election in the sense that since both candidates are among the most disliked and distrusted in our history, when the spotlight is on one of those candidates, their polls go down, and Trump, when the spotlight is on Hillary, the polls go down. When the spotlight is on Trump, his polls go down.
Exactly.
So for the last week, of course, the spotlight has been on Hillary with Comey, FBI director, restarting that investigation of her emails. He's now decided there's nothing to that, but still it reminds the voters of that issue. And some of the WikiLeaks stuff going on, the spotlight has been on Hillary for the last 5 or 6 days, and as a result, I think the race has tightened. And the reason is, of course, is because Hillary's whole campaign has not been about her, but about Trump. Now that it's been on her again, it's tightening. I still think that she wins the election.
Well, she has a lot of infrastructure, and I think this is one of the things that I have repeatedly said about Trump, is that you would have thought he learned his lesson in the primaries, because I think Ted Cruz ate his lunch a couple times, because there were certain things, certain nuances about running a presidential campaign, whether it's a primary, running anything political, that he didn't understand. I mean, he's a greenie. I mean, you know, this is not his business. I mean, if there was a race to build a multi-story building, you know, odds on would be in Trump, I would think. By comparison, this is a whole different ballgame. You know, we'll see if the movement that he has ignited has enough staying power, and you know, we'll see what happens there. But like you say, people, what I am anecdotally discovering is that even when they go to pull the lever, it's almost like a last second choice. I mean, they're going into the booth still not knowing who they're going to vote for, and then it's the last second they're pulling the lever for one over the other. I mean, the voters are quite conflicted as well, Bruce.
Yeah, they are, which is why I think that even though I believe Hillary will end up winning this thing, no one knows for sure. The polls don't know. I mean, every poll I look at, the numbers are different. Yeah, you're right. I think that there's so many undecideds right now walking into the voting booth and then deciding at the last second. So obviously no poll can predict that.
Right. And then, you know, and I don't know, you know, some people have resisted the inference to Brexit. And I only reference it because, you know, it happened in Europe not that long ago where polls misunderstood the electorate and they had it absolutely upside down. So I don't know if that effect goes on. Of course, in a couple of days, we'll be able to look in the rearview mirror and everybody will have their analysis of why, you know, why it happened that way. And how they told everybody it was going to be that way, right?
Right, the 2020 hindsight vision, absolutely.
Exactly. Well, you know, we'll, like I said, we'll see how this plays out. And you know, Comey in and out, and you know, and of course he just brings to more questions. You know, it took them how long to look through 30,000 emails, and now somehow in a very short period of time, I think less than 10 days. They're able to, you know, go through 650,000 emails. How'd they do that?
That's a very good question, Bill, and one that has certainly crossed my mind. How the heck did they get through 650,000 emails and determine that there's nothing new there in 3 or 4 days? It's an excellent question, one I've asked myself a couple of times.
Well, yeah, it's just, and again, it's not the situation you're sitting there cheering. I'm not cheering on, you know, for Hillary. I mean, obviously, I have my differences. I have my grave doubts about her. I have a really difficult time. There, the Democratic Party's platform is antithetical to the things that I believe. You know, but you know, here it is. We've got a candidate for the presidency. And, you know, institutions that should be vetting and making sure that we have the best to offer. It's like, what happened? Are they MIA here? Or, you know, what's going on? Why are these even, you know, topics of discussion, you know, days before a national election that's turning the election upside down? So, you know, you talk about things being rigged, and I say, okay, well, what's your definition of rig? You know, and we talk about the influence, outside influences, and what is your definition of these outside influences? I mean, we've had a lot of tentacles, whether it's, you know, supposedly the Russians, Julian Assange, Veritas, you know, we've had the mainstream media do just the opposite. It's like they backed away and found a candidate and have supported the candidate. Now, how has that helped the voter electorate?
doesn't help it at all. Also, can we also mention that the Justice Department has been thwarting the FBI in its investigation on every turn?
See, all that is complicit in this. So when you think about the craziness of it, is it any wonder? I mean, our institutions are unhinged. They're just not doing the jobs that they should be doing, Bruce, in my humble opinion. Well, it's Veterans Day 2016. We are going to talk Veterans Day. We're going to look at it historically when we come back with our favorite historian, Bruce Kaufman, award-winning syndicated columnist right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
Can't see the world on the way. When this one is gone, 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 we're ready, Jesus. Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, ladies and gentlemen. That's just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We come to you Monday through Friday, 3 hours every day. And I've got Bruce Kaufman with us, our favorite historian, talking about Veterans Day. Bruce, once again, establishments are going all out. Restaurants are offering discounts, free meals. I mean, it is amazing, once again, how the community can come together and honor those that have served this country. You know, it's just a wonderful gesture.
It absolutely is. And, you know, our soldiers, our military personnel are the one institution in this country that we can all rally around. There's really no fundamental disagreement on their role in our lives and their role in defending this country. So absolutely, they deserve every single accolade, every single gesture that we can extend to them, including our heartfelt thanks for all they've done to keep this country safe and secure.
Well, exactly. And if you'd like more information, you can go to Legion, you know, legion.org / Veterans Day, and they'll give you a list of the Veterans Day discounts and, you know, the people. I know a lot of vets, they're so humble, Bruce. They you know, it's not that they're taking advantage. It's just that the people want to honor them. This is their way of honoring, you know, vets for what they have done in support of freedom in this country.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And the one thing that I would like to point out, though, is that the current administration, and I'm afraid this may end up being the same in the next administration if Hillary is the president, we have badly neglected our military in this country in terms of spending, in terms of support. I always love it. I've been to a lot of baseball games this summer, and we always stand up to honor, you know, to honor and thank the members of our armed services who are at the game for their support. They stand up. We all applaud them. We all stand up, take off our hats, and all of that. But I just wonder sometimes if this is a little bit after the fact, when we should be spending more money supporting them, training them, giving the proper equipment to defend our country, and that's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we set ourselves up. We had a conversation with Commander Charles Schmidt with the American Legion. He is the national commander, and talking about, you know, where we are. I mean, that, you know, our military has been so decimated, and you and I have discussed this before, Bruce, because this happened after 9/11. You know, we were attacked. We needed to respond, and we sent our men and women overseas under-equipped and under-supplied. I mean, that is amazing that a country like ours would do this to our heroes.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there was a National Defense Council report, bipartisan report, that said that we are now less secure than we were 20 years ago, and even then, 9/11, we did not have adequate military personnel or service or training or spending. That's absolutely the case, and so that has to change, Bill. That has to be the highest priority, or one of the highest priorities, of whoever is our next president.
Now, Bruce, veteran. I don't know why there's a little bit of conflict in the schedule. I don't want to confuse people regarding Veterans Day, because I heard in some cases it was being celebrated today. Maybe there's some observations that are going on, but officially this year, is it November the 11th, Friday?
It's Friday. It's always November 11th, Bill. It was
okay.
The reason it's November 11th is because on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, Germany surrendered and therefore ended World War I. And so we have celebrated. It was called Armistice Day. It was not a national holiday. But the year after, on November 11th, 1919, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed Armistice Day as a day of observance. In 1936, Congress finally passed legislation making November 11th, okay, each year a legal holiday. And then, just to, a long story short here, after World War II, because Armistice Day at the time only observed those who died in World War I. That was all the observance was only for those who died, not those who fought in World War I, just those who died.
Right.
After World War II, there was a soldier by the name of Raymond Weeks. And he petitioned, he started this movement to have it, first of all, change from Armistice Day to Veterans Day, and second of all, to honor all of our soldiers, living and dead, who had fought in all of our wars. And he petitioned the Supreme Allied Commander at that time, Dwight Eisenhower, to see if there's anything he could do about that. Eisenhower thought it was a wonderful idea.
Exactly.
But until he became president, there wasn't much he could do about it. But in 1954, he signed legislation that made November 11th a national holiday of all veterans, living and dead, of all of our wars. And it was changed to Veterans Day.
Well, it's good that we bring it to light early. I'm one for celebrating and memorializing things that deserve more than one day. And certainly Veterans Day would qualify for that, in my humble opinion. Not just because I'm a vet. I just think that, those have given so many. And today, you and I have had this discussion before. What do we have? You know, less than 2% of the American population has participated in anything by way of the military?
Yeah, it's a very small number, Bill. There's no question about that.
Well, and some would argue, well, that's because we didn't, we no longer, have conscription. The draft isn't in play. But I still believe there has to be some consideration for people to have skin in the game. I mean, to go out there, understand what this country is all about. And something about being in the military, it helps you. I mean, it helps you understand and appreciate why when the flag passes by, you salute, you put your hand over your heart, you respect the flag, you're not disrespecting the flag and what it stands for, because you stand alongside it because you've been there and done that, and then you'll join the rest of us that grieve when you see people disrespect and at ball games they're moving around and acting like they can't wait for just a second while our flag and our country is being honored. And along with that, the inference is we're honoring the people that have defended it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. No, there's no question about it. And I just really quick, Bill, want to point out something that I wrote about a couple of weeks ago, and that is that right now there's a crisis in terms of the veterans in our country who are committing suicide.
Yes.
Okay? 20 veterans are committing suicide every day. Most of them are Vietnam vets for obvious reasons. There are more Vietnam vets, and also that was a much more traumatic war for Vietnam vets than all the other wars, because when they came back from that war, they weren't honored. They were spit upon, cursed, and whatever. And Representative David Young of Iowa, what they found out was that that hotline, a lot of times people that's considering committing suicide or wanting to talk to someone about it, their calls were not being answered. They were going to voicemail and were never returned.
Oh, wow.
And so David Young of Iowa introduced legislation called the No Veterans Crisis Line Should Go Unanswered Act, in which it mandated, okay, that crisis center responders are there to answer a dedicated phone number 24/7. Okay, it passed in the House 360-0 unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry Reid, I'm so happy to see he's retiring, the former Senate Majority Leader, refused to let the bill come to the floor.
How do you stop that? How do you do? I mean, what are you thinking? To somehow justify it. Was it loaded with some other, things that were, pro-Republican or something?
Not to my knowledge, but it never got to the floor for a vote. Unanimously passed in the House, Bill, never got to vote. And this, we're talking about people who, as you and I have just discussed, and we've discussed it before, people who were injured, died, people who fought in the service of our country. Vietnam War is an unpopular war. When those people came back, they were unpopular through no fault of their own.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly.
And now
their only fault was they answered the call and went
right
to protect our freedoms.
And we need to pay them back, Bill.
Yeah, this is this is beyond disgusting. I had not heard about Harry Reid thwarting the passing of that bill. I mean, we're beyond reasonableness. Is it any wonder why there is such a bitterness and discontentment that has been ravaging the very soul of our country, Bruce?
Yeah, and is reflected in this election, Bill.
Without a doubt. Bruce Kaufman, award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. Bruce, a couple of seconds real quick. How can they be in touch with you?
Historylessons.net, Bill. Go on there. You can sign up for my column, and you can explore the website, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. I think you will. They will.
How would you like to pay less taxes?
Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes.
If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them 10 grand or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joe Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today. 866-257-3105.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have around this great country of ours or around the world via shortwave. Thank you for joining the team and being part of the solution, not part of the problem, okay? We've got to talk this out. Your opinion counts. Let us know your thoughts. You can drop me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Well, in 1999, our next guest, Cody McGregor, who's been on with us before, enlisted in the Army as an infantryman directly out of high school. Now, upon graduation from basic training and U.S. Army Airborne School, he was assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, where he quickly deployed to Egypt in support of an international peacekeeping mission. Upon his return to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Cody ascended to the rank of sergeant, was selected to become a part of a scout reconnaissance platoon, where he earned a position as a sniper. Following the 9/11 attacks on our country, Cody's unit was deployed to Afghanistan. There, Cody continued his service as a sniper, was a squad leader, providing strategic support in dozens of complex missions along the Afghan-Pakistani border. Today, Cody is the National Outreach Director with veterans, and we're appreciative that he could be with us right now with the Concerned Veterans for America, the Outreach Director. Cody, good to have you back with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, good to have you here. A lot of things happening regarding the vets that we've got to keep in front of the public. You know, politicians, people all agree the vets are important, but we need to make sure that our words and our policies are backing up that sentiment, don't we?
That's exactly right. You know, and right now it's an interesting time because there are a lot of politicians out there that are talking a lot about veterans because it's around election time. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure, like you said, that we keep pounding that drum and start holding them accountable even through the election, because that's how we need to turn this thing around.
Well, you know, it's amazing, that things come to light and then they just somehow just get ignored about as fast as they come in. And it's business as usual with any of these government agencies. I mean, I remember my dad was a civil servant. And we'd hear that kind of, nonsensical term of, well, that's good enough for government work. Since when? That's disgusting that anything would be just good enough for government work. Because when you talk about our military putting their lives on the line as they do, you can't be good enough. Good enough will get you killed.
And that's exactly right. You know, and the unfortunate thing about today's media is that though a flare will pop up, just like these bonuses that were promised and then have to be taken back to the California National Guard. And that pops up and it's on the news for 2 days. And all of a sudden we're talking about the Kardashians again. When the media really digs in, they would also see that while our Pentagon is in dire need of an audit so we can fix these types of problems, you've got the VA awarding itself $177 million in bonuses last year.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard that right. You know, $177 million. And then here they are trying to recapture money from our servicemen, the National Guard here in California. And this is just one example. They put their lives on the line. Speaking of Afghanistan and Pakistan, they answered the call, some for several tours of duty, leaving their families for the sake of freedom and for, our country. And now, Department of Defense comes back and says, hey, look, we made a mistake. We want that money back. And, you don't see what's happening in the other hand here. The other hand here is we're handing out, 170 some odd million of dollars in bonuses to the VA as if they deserve it. I mean, what are they doing to be rewarded that kind of bonus money?
Getting veterans choice, and they're continuing to keep veterans waiting in line. And that's why, Bill, actually at Concerned Veterans for America, we're supporting a great piece of legislation called the Caring for Our Heroes in the 21st Century Act. And the cornerstone of that legislation gives veterans choice. And, to get back to the bonuses, we're proud of several members of Congress, from Senator Joni Ernst to Congressman Issa, McCarthy, and Miller, who stood up and said that we've got to fix this. We've got to fix this, and we've got to start by holding folks accountable, and we've got to start by holding the Pentagon accountable. And I mean, I'm telling you, when soldiers in the field struggle to get day-to-day gear, but we have a deficit that's $19 trillion and a Pentagon spending billions of dollars a year on projects that never see the light of day, we're asking for National Guardsmen to return bonuses after coming back from combat. We need some real leadership. And the time has come for us to start taking care of those that serve this country. I mean, think about this, Bill. 5 years down the road, you see headline after headline today of failures at the VA, secret wait list, soldiers having to repay bonuses. What are the 13 and 14-year-old American patriots out there that want to serve this country thinking when they see how we're treating some of our veterans when they come home? I mean, if we want to continue to be the greatest nation in the world and have the strongest military in the world, we've got to start taking care of our folks when they come home.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Cody, even those 14-year-olds, just like you, you're wired this way. And so regardless of what the VA doesn't do and that sort of thing, it might be a bit of a dissuader for some of the young people. And I'm not saying that gives it any kind of acceptability. The reality is that we have warriors out there. And thank God for the warriors who are out there that are ready to defend, that will go to the sound of bullets. They will not run away. They will run to it. It's just what they do. And we dishonor them. We dishonor their memory and the memories of so many before them who have paid the ultimate price, and who have paid the price. I mean, forget about the ultimate price. They left their families. They went and defended our beliefs and defended our freedoms, and to go fight on our behalf. And this is the way they, we treat them, that we do not make them the focal point. It's not about them, but it's about the organization. It's about the system. It's about a unionized mentality that says me first, instead of understanding and respecting the fact it's not about you. It's about our vets. That's what needs to happen. And I got to tell you, and I don't know if Ash Carter is in the position to do so, but somebody needed to give him the authority to say, hey, we're not only going to put it on pause, we're going to make an executive decision right now. Barack Obama, where's your phone and where's your pen? Make an executive order on something that's worthwhile as far as we're concerned, and eradicate any kind of collection procedure. The damage that you've done to these soldiers and the families up to this point is disgusting. I mean, we can talk about them being asked to pay the money back, but Cody, you know as well as I do, what did this do to some of these soldiers who came back and turned their world upside down? I hear stories that guys are paying back $45,000 because it involved penalties and things like that. I mean, but the stress, the unnecessary stress, the unmitigated stress that it put on our soldiers who went to defend us is disgusting, what we've done. And there needs to be something in a rather expeditious way to honor these people, because that is just not right. It's not just on any plane.
That's exactly right. And it starts, and you know, accountability matters. And mm-hmm. accountability matters at the VA. And it matters at the Pentagon, and it matters with members of Congress. And, you know, when we talk about taking care of those that have sacrificed everything, I mean, there's some common sense solutions out there that can help fix this problem in a quick second. And that's called giving veterans choice, mm-hmm. allowing that veteran to go down the street to Dr. Johnson if he doesn't want to or she doesn't want to go to the VA. And, you know, there are a lot of folks that have great experiences at the VA. And so in no way, shape, or form are we talking about privatizing it here. We're talking about giving veterans choice because, you know, look, think about it this way, Bill. I chose to join the Army. I should be able to choose my doctor.
Without a doubt. And what's wrong with giving them that option? You know, every time, any kind of process is protected and it's unionized. And with all due respect, I'm not putting everything on union, but I think that mentality creeps in and it retards the process. It's not helping the process. Very, very often I hear where it gets in the way. It doesn't promote the process to where, as you say, it's taking care of these vets that need the situation right now, because they answered the call. They didn't put it off. They answered the call right away, and we need to answer the call in equal measure right away on their behalf. Cody McGregor with the Concerned Veterans of America has been with us. Cody, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for continuing to fight the good fight on behalf of all vets across this country.
Bill, thanks for keeping up the fight on the airwaves. We'll talk to you next time.
You got it.
This report is brought to you by Humana Medicare. As Americans make their choices in the 2016 presidential race, there's another election that's also important to people with Medicare, the Medicare Annual Election Period, AEP, to enroll in Medicare Advantage or prescription drug plans. This year's AEP lasts from October 15th through December 7th. The first step to selecting the right Medicare plan is reviewing your current health needs, looking at your healthcare budget, and anticipating any healthcare needs for 2017. This will help determine which Medicare plan is right for you. Jeff Fernandez, Vice President, Western Segment, for the Medicare Advantage products at Humana.
When identifying the best Medicare plan for you, remember the following tips. Comparison shop and research prescription drugs, and use Medicare.gov to analyze Medicare plans that cover the medications you need. Compare and consider plans that offer coverage you may need, like vision and dental benefits.
For more, visit humana.com/Medicare.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so
Call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in the best-selling novel, Nephilim, by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com, #Nephilim.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Stand in the light and be seen as we are.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
This is who I am inside. This is who I am. I'm not gonna hide. 'Cause the greatest risk we'll ever take is by far. To stand in the light and be seen as we are.
Your program. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like it, all about you, America, because that's what it's all about. If we're going to get this country back on track, it's about we the people. Well, we're going to talk about the murder of Sonny Liston right now. It's a daring investigation into the mysterious death of heavyweight champion Sonny Liston by ESPN magazine investigative writer Sean Assale. It is set against the dawn of the 70s when the mob was fighting to keep control of Las Vegas. Richard Nixon was launching America's first war on heroin, and boxing was in its glory days. The book, The Murder of Sonny Liston, takes a fresh look at the legendary boxer and one of America's most enduring mysteries. You look back on June 29, 1970, this would happen to be the final fight of Sonny Liston's career. He fought Chuck Wepner and left him in need of 100 stitches after a 9th round TKO in Jersey City. 6 months later, Liston was found dead in his home with heroin in his blood in what Las Vegas police speculated was a drug overdose. Liston's closest friends, however, never bought that. They believed Sonny was murdered, and in the decades since, a cottage industry of theories has hung over his death. Still, no single one has been substantiated. Sean Assale is with us right now. The book, The Murder of Sonny Liston, Las Vegas Heroin and Heavyweight. Sean, welcome to Go Martinez Live. How are you?
Bill, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great to have you here. I mean, this is an investigation, I imagine, that keeps you up at all hours of the night, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm obsessed by it. I think you have to be. If, you know, if you take on the job that I did, which is turn myself into a cold case cop, mm-hmm. and try to solve a crime, you know, you have to. And what was obsessed to me was that the medical examiner report on Sonny's death in January of 1971 said natural causes. Yet heroin metabolites were found in his blood. The cops speculated it was an overdose. accidental, but the friends of Sonny that I found, and the more reporting I did, the more I believe the preponderance of the evidence suggests that it was indeed murder, hence the title of my book, The Murder of Sonny Liston.
Well, here you are, as you say, you turn yourself into a cold case cop. You're rifling through, you know, all kinds of records, digging deep into old records, conducting extensive, exclusive interviews with cops, politicians, his friends. I mean, you're going deep into this thing. I mean, at some point, did you feel like maybe you might be going a little bit too far? I mean, if this guy was in fact murdered, were you setting yourself up to be in a pernicious situation?
You know, you can't think like that. You just have to let the facts take you where they go. And what you need to do in when you have a job like mine is just be as transparent as you can with the facts. What I love about this book and I love about the project was that my idea was to set it in the last year of Sonny's life. And for those who don't know who Sonny Liston was or maybe only vaguely remember, in the 1960s, he was one of the biggest figures on the planet. And this is a time when the heavyweight championship was a crown that was revered. I mean, when Joe Louis and Max Schmeling fought, they were proxies for America and Germany. When Floyd Patterson fought, he was the face of an emerging civil rights movement. Black America was thrilled to have him as their representative.
Right.
A few years later, it would be Muhammad Ali who would become the voice of his generation. You know, Sonny was stuck in the middle of that. It didn't bode well for him because he wasn't an eloquent man. He wasn't an educated man. Nobody wanted him to fight Floyd Patterson, not in white or black America. As a matter of fact, both had a very uneasy relationship with him. You know, I write that his left jab hit with the force of a government crash test, and it did, but it was his eyes. And if you look at the cover of my book, you see those eyes some 40 years later, and
exactly.
They're still chilling. And
right.
He killed his opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And so because he had this uneasy relationship with America, by the time I write about him in Las Vegas in 1970, he's lost to Muhammad Ali twice. He's been disgraced. But he nonetheless is settled into this kind of life that only Las Vegas can breed. And that's what's so exciting to the book about me is that it's both about Sonny and about Las Vegas in a transformational time. And what I did was, the way I started the book, to answer your question, and I'm sorry for being long-winded.
No,
I'm excited.
Okay, yeah.
Is that I libraries, Bill, are still great places. And the University of Nevada Library sent the Las Vegas Sun and Review Journal to me in New York while I was living there.
Right.
And I looked at every day of every paper for 1970. My wife helped me. And at night, we would talk about it as if we were living in Las Vegas.
1970 all over again. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, exactly. Wow. And mm-hmm. And what I found and what was crazy was that Las Vegas was an amazing place. The mob was on the run. Corporate interests were coming in. But it was also deeply segregated. Sonny lived in a wonderful white neighborhood with winding streets where the casino executives and the actors lived. And as I write in the book, that neighborhood was created to create the illusion of suburbia in a town where fathers came home at 4 a.m. with sex and booze on their breath.
Yeah.
And there was also a ghetto area on the west side that was ruined by years of urban and civil neglect. Race riots were burning it down. And at night, after Sonny would wave goodbye to his neighbors on the golf course, he'd drive to that west side where he got into some very dangerous situations. So the fact that Sonny Liston, already a fascinating character to me, bridged the two sides of this amazing world of Las Vegas and did it, Bill, by driving his pink Cadillac down the convertible down the strip,
right.
Made the whole thing feel so cinematic. But I should say it's also highly journalistic. This is a very, very deeply reported book.
Now, was Sonny involved with heroin himself?
Yes, I report in the book that he was, hence heroin in the title. And the reason I found that out was that Sonny was working for a criminal gang as a enforcer. The gang was run, because everybody in Las Vegas seemed to have two lives then, by a famous jazz band leader who was also had his own crime crew. And his son, who later became a famous musician, told me that he would go on collection calls with Sonny. And he also did heroin with Sonny. So I have somebody telling me he did heroin with Sonny, as well as his father did. So yes, Sonny, by other accounts, was also dating a cocktail waitress who was a heroin addict. And for those who think, well, that just doesn't make any sense. How can a fighter be on heroin? We have to remember, Sonny only really fought once in the last year of his life. And it was even then, the fight went too long. It shouldn't have gone that long. So
exactly.
Yes, I'm convinced that heroin was a part of Sonny's life.
Well, as you say, after the second fight with then Cassius Clay, he was greatly reduced, but yet he still was a figure. He was still Vegas's hometown guy. As you say, he'd walk down the strip. He's taking pictures. I mean, he's almost a one-man chamber of commerce in a sense.
Well, it depends what kind of chamber you're selling.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, he was for a certain kind of Las Vegas.
Yes.
And look, what's great, and again, endlessly interesting about Sonny to me, was that even after those Ali fights, he tried to make a comeback. And you know what? He came darn close.
Right.
Had he not lost a single fight in December of 1969, Sonny might have clawed his way back. But as I write in the book, that loss, which was completely accidental, was almost existential, because Sonny was almost fated to always have bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
The real bad luck, of course, comes in the last few months of his life, where I write, and you don't know this until now in the book, that Sonny was the subject of a federal drug sting.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to the lead agent, who told me that he'd already met with Sonny once to set up a drug buy, and if Sonny hadn't died, he would have done that drug buy and then tried to wire Sonny up and have him rat out his friends. That's the kind of thing that gets people killed.
Exactly.
But you also have never heard that there was a contract out on Sonny's life from a local drug dealer who thought that Sonny had set him up. What you also don't know is that the band leader who had this double life was afraid that Sonny was going to bring him all down and was a suspect in this. But what really sealed it for me came about two-thirds of the way through the reporting, when I got an envelope with no return address that had the 170-page transcript of a Las Vegas police informant who, a dozen years after Sonny's death, pointed the finger at the person I call in the book suspect number one, a hero cop who broke bad. This snitch claimed that this hero cop confessed to him that he killed Sonny Liston. And the last third of the book takes you through what happened when I tracked down that cop and knocked on his door.
And, of course, we've never heard this at all before. So this is all new, and it's in your book, The Murder of Sonny Liston, Las Vegas Heroin and Heavyweight.
And, you know, the research is what I'm the most proud of, because besides that archival research, I was able to knock on doors. I was able to speak to people who had never been spoken to. I think one of the great telling facts was I spoke to a former Nevada assemblyman and figure in the NAACP who told me that back in his earlier days, he hung around a liquor store where Sonny would hang out, and Sonny would get drunker and boast. And on the eve of Ali's big fight with Joe Frazier, biggest boxing fight in history to that time, Sonny was boasting that he was going to get a cut of the purse. Why? Because he was boasting a deal was struck when he lost to Ali in 1965 that guaranteed him a piece of Ali's future earnings. Now, this is somebody who was there months before Sonny died, who recalls hearing Sonny boast about that. This isn't a theory. This is somebody who was a respected figure quoting Sonny Liston and quoting what he heard. So it's that kind of reporting that I think leads to the title. The preponderance of the evidence, I believe, suggests that murder is more likely than the natural causes or an accidental overdose.
Wow, what a great project and great writing here, Sean, and research to back this up. I know that sports fans, even those that grew up in, I remember as a little kid, the first Cassius Clay Sonny Liston fight. And, the braggadocio of one Cassius Clay, and how could he possibly beat Sonny Liston, who was so greatly favored that night, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the key thing here is that Sonny took Ali lightly.
Yes.
And he took Ali lightly. And by the time they're in the seventh round, Sonny doesn't expect the fight to go that long at all. His shoulder is killing him. And he goes, no mas, no more.
Really?
Why does he walk away? Because he's guaranteed a second fight. And it's that second fight where his reputation is really sealed.
Exactly. Sean, we got to leave it right there. His book is linked at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Sean.
You're the best, Bill. Thank you.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-957-9652. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now 1-800-957-9652. That's 1-800-957-9652. 1-800-957-9652.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you